Galatians chapter 5, hear now the word of our Lord. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, and envying one another. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning on the Holy Spirit and next week as well. So we'll be looking at the Holy Spirit for this week and next week. And here in the past at the Bible Forum, we've looked at a lot of various subjects, particularly in the light, of course, of right division, God's plan for the purpose of the age, plans and purpose for the ages, various terms and subjects, different Greek words that we've looked at, the overall plan of Scripture itself from Alpha to Omega, the heavens and the earth. But there's one subject that we have not covered a lot, and that is the Holy Spirit. And even with a superficial reading of the Scriptures, it leaves no doubt that the Holy Spirit is an important, it teaches us a lot of different things with regard to the Holy Spirit. It's important to understand what is the Holy Spirit. And the first thing I would ask you this morning is, what is your concept of the Holy Spirit? How do you think of the Holy Spirit? Is it something that's intangible? Is it a ghost? Do you think of it as an angel? Is it some power or supreme something or other that moves around? You can't know exactly what it is. Is it an aura over the heads of somebody? You see pictures of Mary. Is that the Holy Spirit with this halo over top? Or is it a person? How do you see the Holy Spirit in your mind? And this morning I hope to be able to delve into that, and we'll see what exactly the Holy Spirit entails. The Scripture does have titles for the Holy Spirit. And I need to apologize here this morning first, because some Sundays we don't look up hardly any Scriptures, but others we look up a lot. And so this morning I'm going to be running you all over the place. So I apologize for that, but it's important to understand and know the words, and you need to see them on the page. You don't need, you know, I can tell you, but you need to see it in God's Word, because it is the inspired Word of God. So the first title that we see in Scripture with regard to the Holy Spirit is found in the book of Genesis. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And verse 2, and the first thing we see there in that second verse is the second part of that verse, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, God here is the word Elohim, and there's a lot of words in Scripture that describe Him, but the Elohim sees Him as Creator. So here is a title, the Spirit of God. It's a part, according to this, the Spirit would be a part of God. The next Scripture is found, the title is found in Isaiah chapter 61, and that would be page 1007 in the Companion Bible. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So here, the Spirit of the Lord God. Now, this is not Elohim. This is used of Jehovah. So we see again this title that is being applied to God and as the Creator, and also God as Jehovah. And remember that Jehovah is the New Testament Christ, who was revealed Himself in the Old Testament as Jehovah. The other title that we see of Him is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's on page 1704. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in that sixth chapter, go down to verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So here we begin to see that God, again, has this title. And, of course, here it's theos. The Greek word is theos, of God. Another title, the Spirit being connected with God as a person. The next would be Hebrews chapter 10, page 1839. Hebrews chapter 10, page 1839. And we go to the 29th verse of that 10th chapter. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So here's another use of the word Spirit of grace. That word grace is undeserved favor. He is a Spirit of our God. It's a Spirit of undeserved grace. back up to John chapter 14, page 1556. John chapter 14. And we'll look at verse 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another Comforter, and he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. And here is the Spirit of truth. Jump down to verse 26 of that same chapter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And so we have the Comforter that is the Holy Spirit. The next chapter in John, chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And then in chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so we see the Holy Spirit as being a helper or a comforter to us. And that's another title of his, that he comes to us. And by these titles, then, that we see all through Scripture of the Holy Spirit, we begin to see that the Holy Spirit is, without doubt, a part of the deity. The Holy Spirit is actually a person in the Godhead. It is God himself. Now, this sometimes raises a problem in the minds of many because they don't understand it. But you've heard me say before many times, the first thing you do if you want to know the truth is to believe God even if you don't understand it. Anything else dishonors him and exhibits a heart of unbelief. That's why the natural man remains an agnostic, or he remains an atheist. It's because he doesn't take that first step of belief. He has doubt, and so he continues in his doubt rather than believing God and going on then to the next step. The close personal relationship between the way God has chosen to manifest himself to us in Scripture is very personal. We see him as Father, we see him as Son, and we see him as Holy Spirit. This is how the Holy Spirit comes to us. And it shows what is called the Trinity. And I'm not going to get into the Trinity this morning because, first of all, it's not even in the Scripture. The word Trinity is not even there. But the following Scriptures show the close relationship and proves the deity of the Holy Spirit. The first one we find, we already hear in the book of John. Go back to John chapter 5 and go to verse 22 in chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. So here we see God having sent his Son, and he honors him. The Father honors the Son. Then we read over in chapter 8, verse couple pages over in chapter 8 of John, verse 49. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. So here we see this goes two ways. The Father honored the Son, and here we see the Son honoring the Father. And then in chapter 15 of John, chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So here we see the Spirit that honors the Father. Chapter 16, the next chapter over, verse 14. Verse 13 and 14 of chapter 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So the Father honors the Son, the Son honors the Father, the Spirit honors the Father. This is, we begin to see that this is all one being and one title for one person. Now jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's on page 1699. Take a right turn in your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I come to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Did I read the right? So the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure I had the right verse there. I must not have written it down correctly. Go to it's chapter 2, verse 12. Excuse me. Can't read my own notes here. Verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us from God. So the Holy Spirit then, being God, becomes a mighty aid. He becomes the revealer of truth so that we may know the things that are freely given. The truth of the matter is, as far as the Holy Spirit itself is concerned, we do not know a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. And why is that? It's because the past and the present activities of the Holy Spirit are a part of the deity. God's revealed himself in this Holy Spirit as part of himself. But there are seven things this morning that I want to point out to you that are activities of the Holy Spirit. What are these seven? Well, the first we saw that he was actually a part of creation, because we read in John, in the first chapter of the book of John, where we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And we saw that God was the Creator, and that the Word was Christ, and that the Holy Spirit is also God. So the Creator was actually there in the beginning and part of the creative process. The second thing that I would point out is found in 2 Peter. And that has to do with the inspiration of Scripture. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. It's page 1865. 2 Peter chapter 1, page 1865. And in that first chapter, we go to verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So all of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, all of those prophets of the Old Testament spoke by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. He's involved in the inspiration of the Scripture. And number three, his activities are with regard to revealing the truth. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, page 1699. We were just there a minute ago. First Corinthians chapter 2. This time we'll look at verses 9 and 10 of that chapter. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. But God hath... Let me back up to verse 9 first. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So He is a revealer of the truth and of the deep things that the natural man cannot understand. The fourth activity that I would point out is found in Romans chapter 8. Take a left-hand turn back to the book of Romans, a couple books back. Romans chapter 8, a couple pages back, not too far back. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him. So the Holy Spirit is a witness for us to God and to us from God. He can see the heart. I've spent a lot of time in prison talking to prisoners about Christ. And I've heard people criticize and say, well, how do you know they're not just conning you? Well, they are cons. And they will con you. But you know what? They can't con the Holy Spirit. You can't con God because He sees the heart. He looks at the heart. He knows whether or not you believe or you don't believe. He knows whether it's a con job or not. My responsibility is to only tell them about the saving grace of Christ. So He was there at creation. He's a revealer of truth. He's a witness for us and to us. And I'm not even going to have you turn to this one. He is also a provided anointing. And the reason I'm not going to have you turn to this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, it says that the Holy Spirit was the anointer. But that's not true today. We've passed that time of the work of the Holy Spirit. That may come again in the future. But we don't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this dispensation of the grace of God. He came and He anointed those people in the Acts period, those Christians, with supernatural power. They healed the sick and raised the dead. And so He was a provider of the anointing. Number six, He seals us. The Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, page 1767. Ephesians chapter 4. And go down to verse 30 of chapter 4. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's where eternal security comes. You can't lose your salvation. Once you come into a position of belief, once Christ, the Spirit, sees your heart that you are a believer in Christ, there's nothing you can do to lose that salvation. I guess you could blaspheme God and say, well, I didn't really believe it in the first place, but he would know that anyway. So the Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. Eternal security, eternal salvation. I can be a bad guy. I can do things that I shouldn't do, but thank goodness he's forgiven me. When he died on the cross, all those things were taken away. And so the Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. Number 7 is sanctification. Back up, go over to 2 Thessalonians. A couple books over to the right in your Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And go down to verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because of God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So we are sanctified by the Spirit. You can't make yourself holy. I don't care if you're a goody-two-shoes. I don't care how good you are. You cannot make yourself holy. We are sanctified and made holy by the Holy Spirit Himself. God sees me and He sees you and He sees no sin. You're clothed in righteousness by this Spirit, you are sanctified. Now, I want to make it clear that knowledge and understanding of the Scripture cannot come from just Bible courses. Bible courses are great. I remember at Baylor University, we had to take, at Baylor, you had to take at least a couple semesters of religion classes. And I remember one religion class that I had at Baylor, and we spent the whole semester studying Paul's journeys. And when we got done, I knew a lot about Paul's journeys. I knew which direction he went and all that sort of thing. But that was a course that didn't give me a whole lot of insight into the Scripture itself. So Bible courses are not the whole thing to knowledge and understanding of the Scripture. It takes the Holy Spirit. Knowledge and understanding cannot come from teachers like myself. I'm grateful that we can learn from teachers. And a lot of what we do learn comes from the lips of others. But it takes the Holy Spirit for you to really advance in your knowledge and understanding of Him. Knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures can't come by methods of study. I saw on TV the other day an ad where they had taken the Bible and they divided it and they got all the subjects into one section. They got the subjects of this together with the subjects of that, and they put those all in a Bible in its alphabetical order. I'm telling you, that Bible is worthless. I hope that's not blasphemy, but that is not, you can't learn anything that way with regard to the Scripture. It throws everything from the past and the future and the present, it puts it all together, and you cannot comprehend Scripture unless you understand that it's a working out of God's plan, and that method of study is just worthless. Knowledge and understanding doesn't come from preachers. Some preachers are good, but that's not where it comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Knowledge and understanding doesn't come from books, except God's Word, but it still takes the Holy Spirit as a translator of those words for the Christian. Knowledge and truth doesn't come from science. Science doesn't have it right. It comes from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit making intercession for us and in our understanding and in our reading. Knowledge and understanding doesn't come from just reading the Bible. Believe it or not, you can read the Bible till you're blind, and you won't have what can be revealed by the Holy Spirit to those who believe. That's the problem with the agnostic and the atheist. They read the Scripture, but they read it in unbelief. Science reads the Scripture, but they read it in unbelief. And thereby the Holy Spirit, who is the one that provides the understanding, does not work in those people. I think you've heard me say this before, but you must read your Bible with your ears as well as your eyes. Why is that? Look at Romans chapter 10. Page 1683. Romans chapter 10. Verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You read the Scripture with your ears. You hear the Word of God. And if the Holy Spirit is not working in you because of unbelief, then you don't hear it. It doesn't make any sense. It's like reading Shakespeare. You just read through it, and that's all there is. So the Holy Spirit becomes the translator and the teacher to those that hear and are reading in belief and with their heart. It is by the Holy Spirit alone that we receive knowledge and truth in God's Word. Therefore, we must continually pray like the psalmist of old in Psalms 119. I'll read it for you. The psalmist says, "Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Psalms 119, verse 18. "Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law," or out of God's Word. Why is it true? Why is that true? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. It's the next book over from Romans there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." That's what I'm talking about. You cannot understand God's purpose and plan. You cannot understand the words if you're reading it in unbelief, because it's foolishness to those who do not believe. They cannot discern them because they're spiritually discerned. Hebrews chapter 11 says, verse 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." And so, in our daily lives and in our Bible study, I think we have the faith, we have the belief, and the Holy Spirit comes to us and gives us understanding. That is God himself. That's a part of him. And I think Elton Stuber had a lesson here one time. I was gone. It was about the Holy Spirit and does he actually live in man? Does he abide in man? And I didn't get to hear that lesson, but I know this, that the Holy Spirit does have an impact on us when we read the Scripture. And I'm thankful for that. Next Sunday, I'll continue with further on with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your love towards us. We are so thankful for the Comforter, for the help that we have, the translation that the Holy Spirit can give us in understanding the Scripture. We are grateful for the salvation that we have in your Son, Christ Jesus. We ask again that you would be with us. Help us send your Spirit that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Word, of your good and perfect plan. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.